And we're back once again, wrapping up week two on an unfamiliar map for just about everybody not in the clan R, and that map would be map 11. We talked a little bit about it last week, and I think the outcomes of each games were subsequently a lot different than we anticipated. Certainly for me, not knowing how this map was played, it ended up being an interesting match, to say the least. So let's get right into it. Like I mentioned on the post last week, we have upgraded Zanero from a recurring character to a main cast member here. So he'll be joining us every week. And so it'll be myself, Stab, and Zanero. What's going on, guys?
Hey.
So we should jump right into Wumbo vs. Suck, which I thought, to me, that game was the one that ended up the most different than how I anticipated. I thought it was going to be a little bit closer. Based on the way that I played with Suck, I thought they had good control of the middle in practice. I thought they were able to coordinate their runs a little bit. And their defense held up, which was my biggest question mark for them. And in the game, it seems like Wumbo totally dominated the middle, threw Suck out of their element. And, they were able to just run over them in about two games. It was fairly quick as well. So I don't know what you guys thought about that, but I think it was pretty telling. You know, we talked a little bit about Wumbo in week one and how maybe it seemed like they weren't gelling together, but after this performance, I don't think there's any question that they are probably the strongest team this season.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I expect them to win every game, every round. I mean, their team is that good. They're like as good as you were last year on paper. And we didn't see it in week one, but we definitely saw it in week two, and I can't really say I'm that surprised. Like, I know you guys thought Suck had a bigger chance, but in my mind, it was just kind of like, they were going up against that monolith of Wumbo. I mean, they got the two captains, former captains, and then K-Blair. It's just, ugh. I don't know. So
actually, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was done.
I actually thought initially that Suck had a pretty good shot. When I played them, that changed. I noticed during practice that they weren't controlling middle. And I thought maybe it's because we have a lot of mid control. But when I played Wumbo, they had a little bit more mid control and not as much defense. So I could have put two and two together there and be like, well, this could have been a problem for the Chargers, but I didn't think that it'd be 5-0 and 5-2. I think that what really hurt them is that they had, going into this week, I thought the Chargers had a major problem holding like a static position. Like, they're too fluid, I think, from what I observed. And I think that really came back to hit them hard.
Well, the thing that I noticed that gave me a little bit more confidence in them was, I think we played them about four or five rounds, and it seemed like every round they were able to take what they had learned from the previous one and apply it. So they improved from round to round, and it got to the point where our games were really close. You know, we were probably low scoring. We were tied like 2-2 for, I don't know, 7 minutes of each round. And then, you know, as the round went on, actually, we ended up scoring a few flags. But I had a lot of confidence that, you know, them losing those ties, basically, would translate into having a stronger game versus Wumbo. But, you know, I guess not. And props to Wumbo, because I thought they really killed it, especially Jay Warrior. I thought he had a pretty monster game.
Yeah, you did. I was just going to bring up if you look at the stats, it's almost like the KD ratio on this map sort of tells it all. Like, most teams had, you know, one guy with a real low one, obviously the runner, and maybe the mid was, you know, higher than that, and then the D did good. You look at Suck, and it was 76% was the highest. and then it was down from there, like, Wumbo's entire team was 100% or higher AD. Water was 200%. Not that, you know, can't be balanced like, you know, Suck was, but you want to be balanced maybe a little higher. If you look at Rosking's team, they all had 80-some percent KD ratio, but all of them, right, around that same area. I don't know. It just seems like they got beat down, you know?
Well, yeah. Losing round one was a big hit because they had caution on defense from what I saw, and that was a problem. He wasn't able to hold him back. They scored 5 flags in, what, 8 minutes? It wasn't even 10. They had no answer for it until round two when Ralph took up defense. I think that we've seen Ralph's teams have more of a defensive player in the roster, and I think
right. He
needs to look at that going forward.
Abler, Human Bones.
It's really hard right now because the team is more oriented towards like mid support and auxiliary runners. So I don't really know how he could finagle it. Wimbo just kind of, they set up and knocked it down.
I think it's got to be, at this point, moving forward, you know, barring any trades, it's got to be kind of a joint effort, you know, because I think if you look at Ralphus and Caution, I think they're both top tier, you know, runners. Ralphus probably being, in my opinion, the best runner in the league. So he is certainly capable of getting flags on his own. So if the other two players, whoever's not running, can work together and keep the other team out, you know, clear the base and then push up and help the runner. It's a very simple thing to say out loud, a little bit more difficult to do in game, but, you know, if you have that kind of a weakness and you really have to compensate for it. And luckily, they've got, like I said, they've got Ralphus and Caution. So, you know, I think if they really work on their strategy, they could improve from these two losses.
Well, it was a very strategic map. I mean, it's not fair to say, oh, well, they don't have a core defender. The map is really catered to runners.
No, it totally is. That map is, for sure.
It just exacerbates the problem.
Well, we talked about this at the end of last week, that we kind of thought that Suck was going to have more room to breathe and use some of their creativity. Not the case, like, at all, in my opinion. I mean, this... If you look at it on paper, it was just a slaughter at the middle, basically.
And you know what? On a map like this, actually that armor is more useful than you would think. Because it seems like, I mean, I don't know, I don't have the specific stats. I can look them up. But whoever got the most power-up touches, you know, getting into the, especially if, you know, Wumbo got a lot of those armors, and they were controlling middle, that means their runner probably got into the base relatively untouched. And so if you're running out, you really don't have to turn around and shoot the people behind you because you've got that armor. So I think that that probably led to a lot of scores as well.
So they had, Wumbo actually had a combined total of 21 power-up touches, and Suck had 3.
And there you go. Wow, that big of a difference? That's crazy.
No, it's higher, I think, actually.
It's 21-3.
Yeah, okay, it's 21.
Jesus.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's totally a map where, you know, not every map is going to be like that, but that one.
And the other two were much, you know, there were 3-rounders, closer games.
And you mentioned, you know, Ross King, so if we jump into our game, SXP versus BST... if you look at those stats, and I noticed these last night, actually, all 3 players on Best Ever got the same amount of touches.
They got the same amount of touches, they got almost the same exact KD, and they have almost the same amount of frags. It's crazy.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, it goes to show you. Now, I know a lot of people were a little confused about, you know, his draft picks during after the draft. A very fluid team. Flexible, and I think in that game we saw all 3 of them play different every single different position. You know, obviously we took round one. Round two, they really adjusted to what we were doing. And round three, I think, was just like, you know, playing a pinball machine. It was back and forth with the flags. I, having watched the demo back, I realized what we could have done to win the game. But certainly in the moment, they did a great job of coming back from that round one loss, because I feel like after round one, I think we felt really good about what we were doing. And, you know, like I was saying last week, this is the map that builds teams, so if they were able to bounce back and win two rounds in a row, I think that speaks really well for their team and their chemistry and everything like that. And certainly, you know, for us, I think it was a good learning experience. I mean, Rude and I had not lost together before in the WDL, so, you know, with talking to my entire team, I think we all realized what we did wrong, and I think we're going to be able to correct that problem, those problems.
One thing I noticed when, like, you actually play a match on this map is that you don't sit at middle. You don't stay there.
Right.
I thought you did, and
for parts of it, yes, I did.
But you time the armor, you grab it, and you're gone. Like, you don't just linger there.
No.
There's something you can always do as middle there. And not many maps, actually, you can do that in.
Yeah, yeah.
That power-up. You don't fuck around with blue and just say, now I'm going to hold mid even harder. And you take that opportunity to get a high-quality touch.
Well, I mean not even that. You, like, the biggest players this week are the people who didn't sit at mid for frags. So they kind of, like, either pushed up, they fell back, or they were looking at, like, one of the side routes. Holding mid is not as important on this map, apart from the armor timing.
Almost because it's impossible.
It is impossible. And so my thinking, because I was playing mid, you know, Rude, being Rude, is able to get into the base. And so really my job is to make sure that Zen doesn't get bombarded by two people, one person going that top route, one person going the lift way. So that was my job. As long as I could clear one of those people, then I tried to push up and help Rude, who almost always had a touch. And I think that worked out in round one. Round two, we went down 3-1, and basically, you know, I kind of abandoned that strategy and just started running. Because the thing, and I think this could work if it was practiced a little bit more, is that, you know, Rude typically would come in before me, and they would be attached to him. And so I was able to grab a flag and get out. And there were a number of times, actually, that I was able to get at least into the middle, if not across into our base, where I got killed. And that was, you know, a totally unpracticed strategy by our team. So I think that that also played a part in it. Round three, I did kind of a mixture of what I did in round one and round two. So, like, we were up. And on my part, what I should have done is, when we got up flags, I should have played a little bit more defensively. Because then that would have pushed them out of their base and allowed Rude easier chances to get the flag. But I didn't do that. So that's my error, in my opinion. And I think that's where our team went wrong. So
maybe.
But, yeah, maybe.
Although, I can't think of their team name. BST did the same thing. When they got up, if you watch the stream back, you can really see it. And somebody commented on it. And it was like, I think 30 seconds after they started falling back that you guys capped. It was like, you know, so it's a balance, you know, because you got to keep up that pressure.
Right. And I mean, I don't know how they did that. Like, did two people defend from inside the base? Because that's a mistake. You know, you have to play, like, defensively, but also try and control the power up. And so I think a little bit of my own strategy got lost in the midst of this crazy ass game that was happening.
Like, the runtime between the bases it's quite a while. You can get to mid before they're, because, let's see, how many spawns are, like, near a super shotgun? It takes you time to get to that, and then you go up to mid. I mean, there were some times where they had a couple people in mid with, like, chain guns and shotguns and whatever, Well, we kind of took the time to grab the super shotgun, and that may make a difference on some runs.
Yeah, and I think they had a really good counter strategy, and I think that, like I said, that plays really well to their preparation. And I mean, overall, I really enjoyed the map. I know I've heard some people that didn't enjoy it. I still think it's good. I think it would make a great playoff pick by a team that, you know, can handle those kind of situations. I thought it was a really good addition to the regular season, so I'm happy with the map, even though we lost.
I want to see it come back. I think that Ross King's, like, having made the map helped his team a lot prepare, like, for what to expect.
Absolutely. I mean, I've participated in Chaos Core testings, not as much as probably the R clan itself, but I mean, this was, you know, years ago that we were, they've been testing these maps for quite some time, so I'm sure every strategy that anybody's ever used, he was able to dissect, and that's, you know, that's going to be the same thing for anybody that plays a map longer than somebody else, so.
Oh, yeah, but, I'm not taking any...
No, that's not what I meant either.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to say, before we move on, there was a move that FSN put on somebody in the base that Demon Sphere kind of geeked out over. It was so good, though. He grabbed the flag, hit the lift switch, and then, you know, kind of dove into it. And then as soon as the defender went to get him, he waited till the defender got on the, like, lip of the lift and then just bolted back into the base. The lift went up, you know, took the defender away, and then he was out like a bullet, just like down Main Street.
What did the defender do? Did he run after him, or did he go down the hallway and jump down the stairs?
He was gone. I don't know which way he went, but he was never to be seen from again.
So, yeah, I mean, it would really depend, because in that split second, that's what you have to decide. Do I chase this guy? Do I jump off the lift and chase him out the way that he ran? Or do I try to cut him off? I mean, either way, you don't know if you're going to catch him, but in my mind, I would think, don't jump off the lift and follow him, because you're going to be way behind. But, you know, who knows?
I had a couple lift entanglements with FSN, so that could have been me. And I had a lot of trouble, like, cornering him, because he would, like, glitch through me, and that might have been what happened.
But he's a great runner, and that lift is a pain in the ass. You know, if you are smart enough to use that lift to your advantage to confuse people, then, you know, it's a great strategy.
Yeah, he had a few crafty moves. Ross King got a lot of touches out. His cap percentage was really good, but neither of them looked nearly as good as Rude. Yeah, I don't. If you guys haven't watched the stream, you should watch it back. It's mostly Rude highlights, but man, was he good!
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we left a lot to be desired.
It was a great game. I mean,
it was a great game. I enjoyed it. You know, I mean, I'm upset that we lost, but if you look back on it, like, it's not one of those losses where there's nothing to take away from it, you know? I think you can learn from this.
Like, through that whole game, no matter how they changed it up, Rude was able to punch through and get
touched. Yeah, and that's Rude, you know? And so, you know, moving on to the last game, it was GPS and TDT. So, I don't know, you want to talk a little bit about that? Because, basically, it was another three-round game. I thought you guys, you know, you guys lost round one. I thought you guys really adjusted well in round two. Torvald was killing it on defense, and then it was just another one of those last-second flags that tied it up. And then round three, you know, kind of went a different way. But, yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about maybe what your strategy was going into that game and how it played out and everything.
So, yeah, practice didn't happen all week. You know, so I was very nervous. It just didn't happen for multiple reasons, and I felt bad about that. But sometimes that's the way it goes. And I made it back, you know, for Friday. I made it early enough that we got, I think, like, you know, an hour and a half. So that's good, you know. But it's not ideal. It's almost like good to have a day's break between practices to think about stuff, maybe see other people play the map too, which we didn't get to see. We had some crazy ideas based off of the way that our practices went. Like we had an idea going in that maybe if things didn't go well, at one point we were going to just straight up do the strategy. It worked in practice against a really good team, but that's the thing. It's practice. So you don't really know. Right. But I think it was Water and Ralphus and Day War or something like ridiculous like that. And we beat them pretty good doing a 2-0 and sometimes 3-0 strategy, you know, because we just were like, you can't hold middle. Maybe we can do something like Ralphus's suck team did on that other Chaos Core map last year, the kind of gray one with the courtyard in the middle. You know what I'm talking about? I think like week four.
Oh, week four, yeah.
Yeah. Where, you know, his whole team's strategy there was just dive for the flag, and then we'll kill them on the way back kind of thing. So we had some crazy things like that worked in practice that just weren't that practical. And then they stopped working, sort of. And that's where we left off. Was like, that was the end of our practice, was that strategy. And then we really hadn't tried anything else. So I just thought, we'll just go into this straight up. I'm going to put Tor on defense. I'm going to mid, and I'm going to put Dranzer on offense. Only reason I did Dranzer on offense instead of defense is because of it. He doesn't have a mic. And I thought with the upper entrance, the, you know, sewer entrance and the main entrance, it was kind of, and the exits, you know, I kind of needed to hear which way people are coming out as mid. So, you know, that's what we did. And we almost, it was a good round one. What was it? 2-3. So it wasn't like, it was really close. We had a couple PCAPs, really nice, you know. Really close game, touch-wise and everything, but we lost. And I just felt that I wasn't doing really good on mid. And if you look at my KD ratio, it's just awful. So we switched it up in round two. I went on O. I figured if I'm already not able to kill anybody, why don't I just run and put Dranzer at mid, and then he can listen to Tor talk. You know, Tor tell him when people are coming out, where people are coming out. So we kept it straight up, because our initial idea was to jump to a 2-0 strategy. You know, if we lost round one, we didn't do that. We kind of stuck with it, and we almost won. I forget exactly when it happened, but we were up 2-1. And I had a flag an inch away from ours, and DS was just lurking in the base. He killed me. He returned it, grabbed our flag, and then was out like, you know, a goddamn bullet, and then capped to tie it, and then that was that. And then round three, I don't know. I think my best way to explain it is a complete morale drain, you know, as often is the case after you go from the brink of victory to a shocking tie like that. Plus, then you have the added knowledge that you got to win that game to win the whole thing. So I think we were over aggressive. And yeah, pretty much it, I guess.
Yeah, that map is, you know, playing mid on that map, like we were talking about, is just really difficult. And I understand the mic thing as well. It's hard. That map, you need constant communication. So I can see kind of where your thought process was on putting Dranzer as the runner. So An interesting strategy that Tor and I sort of developed as we were playing together in practice, and I think you were there as well, was Blitzkrieg, which was just no defender at all, and everybody runs. So I was actually kind of curious if you guys were going to play that, put that into place. I'm not sure if that would have worked against DS, but...
I see, I kind of round three a little, but it obviously didn't work.
Well, yeah, but... it didn't help when Demon Sphere scored within the last minute. And then you go into the next game, and immediately he gets a score on you. When before, he wasn't really running. So yeah. I mean, that shift of momentum definitely will screw over any team. Like, they're like, what is happening all of a sudden, right?
Right. It's all but the toughest, you know, person is going to just feel like shit at that point. It had been so close for two rounds. Up until that last minute, we were even going to tie it, like, 1-1 as in win, and ugh. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty good explanation of what happened.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I thought it was an enjoyable game to watch. I think you guys can definitely take a lot away from that game, though. Specifically,
yeah,
I enjoyed Torvald's defending in round two. I thought he was great. Yeah. You and Dranzer actually work well together. So I think you can work on that as well if you want to kind of pull Dranzer away from D. So,
well, you said, rang through to me about, like, when one person goes in first, they often attract attention of, you know, one or both, you know, mid and D, and you can kind of sneak in behind them. And we did that. I think he did that pretty well in round two. Like, he had a 25% cap percentage on three touches. He got one, so.
Well, yeah. As a defender, it will attract attention because you do not, this is a map that you do not want to lose sight of people who are in your side of the map. So,
and
I mean,
two,
that's.
Right,
that's a good
way to
go about
it. And then two people in at the same time is just like death. Like, I
it's
saw
hard.
That even in practice. Like, if I was the mid and a guy got past me, like, out of the corner of my eye, I just saw him and I shot and missed, and then you noticed another guy was all like, it, that's just sheer panic at that point, because your D is gonna die, and then you're gonna have one or possibly two guys coming right at you at mid, you know, and then at that point it's just like good luck.
Yeah, if you don't spawn, I mean, it's tough. Like, any defender I think has trouble with two people on that map because they can come from any direction. Like, some critical things that I saw while watching your game, like, Terska kind of had total domination of the map. Like, he was everywhere. He played D, he played mid, he played O. DS had a lot of, like, impromptu runs. He kind of just, like, did whatever. Ding Dang was in your base constantly. I felt like a lot of the time I watched GPS, two of you guys were up too far.
Yeah,
and
we did not do a good job at mid.
And that's fine. I mean, you should come away with this looking at, like, look, that's a harsh map. And no one really knew this map going in.
Yeah, we didn't know at all. And then, like I said, we had just one night of, you know, a handful. And for some reason in practice, like, the double O really worked. And so I think whoever was on mid both rounds sort of felt compelled to sort of just be ultra aggressive. And I think that was the wrong way to go looking back. But by the way, yeah, Demon Sphere, Jesus, man, that guy was insane.
He does that every week. Every week he, like, heroes a flag and you're like, how the hell did that even happen? He's crazy.
It's pretty good.
But final verdict on that map for me is two thumbs up. I want another shot at it this season, so somebody should pick it as their home field map.
Yeah, good for Demon Sphere's team, too. I want to see more out of them.
Yeah, definitely. And so moving on to week three. Week three is another map that I do not believe has been played in the WDL before. It was a contest map, the very first contest map that the IDL ever picked as its winner, so it got into the regular season. It became rather popular. And I think it's still kind of popular as a private CTF map when private CTF gets played. Now, Stab and I think, have different opinions on this map with in comparison to map 11. We think that it's a very similar map in layout and possibly the way that it plays. I mean, there are a few notable differences. There's a teleporter. It's not an armor, but a sphere. And I don't think the middle is going to be quite as chaotic, only because there's no, you know, there's not two side tunnels over there. So basically, if you're running through the middle, somebody's going to see you pretty much at all spots. So I just think it's a little interesting to have map 11 be followed directly up by map 19. Although I do like map 19, I've never been the biggest fan of it, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to produce a lot of, like, 3-2, 4-3 games, maybe even lower scoring than that. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring week at all. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, I don't particularly enjoy the fact that they seem so similar. I mean, it's relatively flat like the other map was, and then you got a power-up in the middle, you know, and a left entrance, right entrance, and a main entrance. I mean, they seem really similar on paper. I guess maybe the main difference to me that might change the way that it's played is that it's a little longer, I think, or at least it's more open in the middle. Like you said, there's no side tunnels. Those really helped, especially Rude, get out a lot. So I think it's going to be harder to cap. I mean, that teleporter is going to be used a lot, so I think mid is going to be huge, right? I mean, if you go for that telly and you got a guy at mid, you know, I think that's going to be kind of the big key. But yeah, I'm not a fan, really, in general, of either, but you know, it is what it is.
I've always chalked this map up to be kind of a stalemate map. It's a slugfest at mid. There's a soul sphere there. You have to control that.
Yep.
The teleporters are kind of death traps, actually, I've found in practice. In a lot of games, as soon as the carrier is seen going into the teleporter, you're over at that teleporter in no time.
It does kill your momentum, right? Because you got to pause. I just feel like in a 3-on-3, yeah, you're going to be there right away. But, I mean, you're probably going to be meeting a mid there, you would think.
In my experience, as soon as the flag gets taken, whoever's in mid generally runs right to the teleporter. Not many people, actually, as runners, will run right out the front door. Like, it's just, you know, the teleporter's kind of kitschy, and, you know, people like to use it and be cool and everything, but it's totally, in my opinion, not the right way to go, unless, you know, you can, like, get up there and act like you're going to go in and kind of, you know, juke people out. But I think it's not going to be as useful as it looks, and it's always played out that way to me. You know, you're always running right to the teleporter when the flag gets taken, because you know that that's probably, like, 60% of the time where the runner's going to go.
Well, yeah, but you're running right into mid, and your
right.
Focus is not on the guy at mid. So that's why I think, you know, somebody with a strong mid here is really going to be able to kick some ass.
It will be. It's a very fraggy map. No matter what way you cut it, the carrier's going to have to fight his way out. Another thing, too, is that when you're watching the teleporter, you're also watching the tunnel entrance. So that cuts off both those routes if they can't contest mid. And with it only being three people in this huge map, there's a lot of chance for someone to get by and grab the flag and cause a stalemate. And we've seen that in Priv a lot.
Yeah, and it's really easy to use that teleporter as well after you get the flag, because you can just jump right from the flag up onto that ledge. You know, it was made purposefully that way, so... You know, I mean, it's hard to determine when you're running what the best way is to get out of the base. Probably, to me, is you want to wait for your mid to catch up, because, you know, it's the base itself is not that big, and neither is the middle. So if you have the flag and the other team, you know, they can collect two guys in the middle, and they can just sit there and wait you out. You know, you can kill one of them, but it's not like you can hide or run anywhere. You're going to get shot by two people, probably point blank. So it's going to be a lot of teamwork, I think, to get the flags out, unless something goes horribly wrong on defense.
I think as a runner, you got to use the sight lines and mess around in base. Like, yeah, I think you're totally right. Like, you got to make sure you get out of sight and, you know, make them think you could be coming one of two ways, and then hopefully your guys get up and then by the time that you go, you've got some support.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how teams play that out. Let's talk about the neutral game, which is the Dream Team versus Suck. I see this as a better map for Suck than last week. I think the Sphere is going to be very important for them. If they can, you know, up, because like we were talking about, they didn't touch that armor very much at all in week two. So they've got to do a better job at that. If they can improve, and especially with a Sphere, it's going to be a little bit more helpful than that armor, I think. I think that they can kind of bully TDT into playing a little bit too much defense. So, I don't know. I'm curious to see how Ding Dang plays here, because I think really his presence is going to determine what TDT does. You know, we know DS is the shutdown defender, we know Terska is the great runner, so Ding Dang's really going to have to just go with the flow of the game as to where, you know, he's going to be most helpful. But if Suck can put better control on that sphere, even if it's the defender, grabbing the sphere, you know, they just got to do something. I think that they're going to learn from that from last week. I mean, they're not a team that generally makes, you know, a Ralphus team does not generally make the same mistake 2 weeks in a row. So, I'm going to have to lean with Suck here.
Yeah, I think that Suck is the underdog coming into this because it is sort of a similar map. And part of me wants to say that Ralphus is going to have maybe more room to run and be creative if he runs. We don't know if he will. But I kind of feel like this is the perfect Demon Sphere map. Like, he can push up a lot, and he's going to be able to see where you're coming from every time. Like, there's no way really to get by. It's going to be pretty. So the mid or himself is going to see you, and he's just going to be waiting. And if Demon Sphere is waiting for you, God help you. So I guess that's where I see advantage, Demon Sphere versus Ralphus. And then for that reason, I guess I think I'm leaning early on anyway towards TDT.
I'm kind of seeing both Ralphus and Demon Sphere contesting a lot at mid, because I see them both playing defense and then pushing up to mid.
Yeah.
But I think the difference will be Ding Dang and Terska being flexible with, like, their weird running strategies that they usually come up with. And I think they'll outpace the Chargers, like, pretty substantially, like, as the rounds drag on. I mean, it's a very slugfest map, but once it's hard to recover on this map from being down a flag or two.
Yeah.
So I'd probably give TDT the advantage. I think that the flag count will be close, but I think they'll be 2-0 over in Suck.
Well, this was my thinking behind it was, you know, this is a relatively newer map, and Ding Dang is a relatively newer player. I'm not sure how much he's actually played this map because, you know, he never played in the IDL. He's only been around in the WDL. This map is not very well known, so his experience on this map, I'm not quite so sure about. Now, is he going to know that, you know, is he going to recognize the teleporter being as important as it is to defend. You know, like, is that going to be something that holds them back? I'm not sure. So that was kind of my thinking. I feel like maybe Sucks got the most experience on this map. You know, I think that that will come into play, but so I think Ding Dang's kind of the key here.
This map was a staple in Z Daemon Pub for like...
Oh, was it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, forever. So, like, I know this map really well from that perspective, but I don't know it from, a competitive, perspective. I'm sure things change a lot. But I think Ding Dang played enough Z Daemon Pub that he's going to be at least familiar with all the ins and outs. I don't think that'll be too much of a factor because of that.
Well, I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah.
We can move on to your game, which is GPS versus BST. Just off, you know, looking at the lineups, controlling the sphere, keeping Ross King from getting that sphere is going to be totally key. To me, this is a map that I think really lends itself to Dranzer's playstyle. You know, he doesn't need a lot of communication here for him to know or for him to be able to defend. I don't think he needs someone constantly telling him where somebody is. I think it's just, you know, the base is this tiny little box, and he just has to shoot and kill people, which he's better at doing than most of the league. So I see that as being a real huge advantage. As far as the sphere control, you know, Torvald was always very good at getting a count of when the sphere was taken, and being in control of that situation, I think that's going to be well for you. I don't know much about how FSN or Caboose play with the sphere, but for you guys, I think probably the biggest thing is keeping Ross King from getting that sphere and then really working together to get a flag out. You know, I think you guys can probably come up with some different ways to do that, whether it be, you know, distracting or, you know, since you know this map really well, I think if you play mid, you'll have a good understanding of what to do. So I don't know. This matchup's tough for me. Like, I can't. We've seen really good games out of BST, you know, probably better than anybody was expecting. So, man, I can't pick anybody. I guess if I had to pick, I would give BST the edge. But I can see a path for you guys to win, I guess is what I'm saying.
Ooh, I'll take that.
I don't think it'll be a shutout game. I think that this match will be pretty close. I mean, even though it's a slugfest map, they don't have a lot of high fragging power on their team. Not like Demosphere. The issue is going to be, can you stop Ross King from timing the sphere? The answer is no. So the issue is going to be, can you stop him from getting the sphere? What I've seen from Stark and FSN, they can play pretty much anything. So it's going to be up to your team to lock it down. That's basically it. I think it's stacked a little bit against GPS. So I would probably give BST a win in 3 rounds. But I don't see it being a shutout at all. I think it's possible for GPS to come back and nail them.
Yeah. I'm not gonna like give a prediction, but we're definitely the underdogs. I mean, you'd be retarded not to say so. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I like this map for us. I don't like it personally. I think it sucks, especially having to play it right after last week. But I'm, like you said, a little bit happier that we don't have to go against somebody like Demon Sphere. And I think that, like, if they maybe put, like, Stark back on D, I don't know. I just, I feel like I could take him.
No, yeah. I feel like the way that this map plays, see, how do I want to word it? I think the strengths of your team are good for this map, basically. I think it's a, I think it's going to be a good week for you guys. You should be able to get everything settled down, and I think you'll figure it out. I think this will be the week that you guys figure it out. So,
the game too Thursday, but I think everybody on each team has played this map enough. So,
yeah. I mean, unlike last week, it's a known map, so that really helps you guys. Yeah, it really just, it's going to come down to that. It's going to come down to the middle and that sphere. That sphere is very important. So, you know, I mean, I've done strategies where it's like, well, forget about the sphere, you know, just let them have it. And that doesn't, you know, it doesn't work all the time. So, especially against somebody like Caboose. So,
I want to talk about your game and why I'm very interested to see if you do if you utilize the rockets in some way.
That's a possibility, you know, my thing with rockets is, you know, mostly, I'm pretty good with rockets, but I try not to overuse them in an actual game, because I think it can come back to bite you in the ass. Like, for example, if you are defending, and you're defending with rockets, and somebody's, you know, you just don't hit somebody, then you're going to run out of they can grab the flag and just run away from you, and you can't really shoot them, you know, you're just shooting them with rockets. So, you kind of got to pick your moments.
It'd be more of just to create a little more, you know, a little more of a hectic environment for the mid and the O, just popping them off every now and then down one hall, maybe.
Oh, I think certainly, you know, I think a lot of people maybe, you know, I started playing CTF right when CTF was invented on Zdaemon, and so, you know, there was a lot of rockets. People didn't give a shit about spamming rockets. I was part of that whole thing, you know. CTF had experience points, you know, so I never had a problem spamming rockets, and I think that there's still that part of me in there, so I don't have a problem using it to my advantage. I could sit there and, you know, file out 20 fucking rockets right in the flag room, and it wouldn't bother me. Whereas I feel like a lot of people are like, we don't want to do that. Like, they just have this thing against rocket spam. If it's to my advantage, I have no problem doing it. So, you could see that strategy. Not to talk about my own game, but I think probably
those little bitches.
Yeah, right. I think probably in everyone's mind, this is the game of the week. And I certainly feel that this was the game that I circled on my calendar. I'm excited to play this ridiculous team that has been assembled, so.
I think that if you, even for a minute, think that you can defend with rockets during our game, I will cut your throat out.
Well, I don't plan to defend necessarily in general, but I certainly wouldn't do it with rockets.
Anyway, be a fucking slugfest.
Like, oh, it totally is, especially this game.
It's gonna be bad. I'm not. If there's gonna be a winner, if it's not a tie, it'll be two rounds. Like, I think if there's a discrepancy in how we set up, I think it'll be over quick. Because both teams have a lot of potential, a lot of good players, and on a map like this that's really wide open, there's not a whole lot of room for finesse. It's either, like, you do it or you don't.
I really think that Wumbo should run water. It's my opinion that J-War and K-Blair are both not, like, elite runners. Water has been, like, an elite runner for like a whole season before. I forget which season, but he's done it.
He's just an elite player. Like, he's somebody who is really elite at every position. So,
yeah. So, I think that's the way they should go. However, I think that you guys have the edge with Rude. If you two can keep up with their frag power, which I know that you can, both of you, I don't know.
Well, hey, you know, let's all say it together. Who had the most frags in a round in WDL history?
I don't. Demon Sphere? Question mark.
ABC?
Yeah, I think it was Perindon, actually.
Was it really?
No, it was me. That was the joke.
God. Your joke? Get out of here.
Apparently. But anyway, you know, like, if you wanted to pick six players who were the fraggiest players in an entire league and put them in a game together, this would be the fucking game. Like, this is going to be ridiculous, I think. So.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great, and I think that you guys are going to pull one out. I think this is going to be the one loss on the season for Wombo.
Wombo is going to be really hard to beat. I think
they are.
Against them is really thinking hard.
Yeah, I think
I'm thinking B. Anybody ever see B movie?
Influenced because you two are on here. The hell.
I mean, you could root against us. I mean, I rooted against you. It's not like... But, yep, this map's going to be... this map's going to be, to use the same term that Zen's been using, a slugfest. It's going to be crazy. I'm looking forward to it.
Like each match.
So as we usually do at the end of every radio show, Emmy Award winning Player of the Week segment.
Yes!
Lots of good players last week. Lots of good players. Hard to choose. Yeah. So let's start off with Stab. Who do you think Player of the Week was?
I went with Demon Sphere this week. I mean, his supporting cast played well, but it was, I think, him. It was his, you know... multifaceted performance, right? Not just the D. It was incredible D, and then it was timely pickups and returns. He ended up with the most points on his team. He had four caps. The Tursus three. And I, out of his 15.
All right, you're turning into Robot Man at the moment. So let's jump into Zen, and then we'll swing back to Stab so he can finish his pick.
Well, Stab has lost orbital contact. My pick is actually in our game. I picked Stark. And the reason I picked Stark is because he played a phenomenal game while there was a complete shift in BSD strategy. He played good round one. It may not look it on the stacks like kill death or whatever, but he was in our base all the damn time.
He was.
Something ridiculous. He was behind me the whole time, and I thought I had it locked. Round two, he came. I didn't actually see him a whole lot, but I saw him on the kill feed constantly. He was just murdering everybody. So he switched to their side of the base or whatever. They were like, he was playing mid or he played in their base. Which, like, how do you go from playing full-blown offense, full-blown defense, and maintain, like, that grade of a player while you're doing it? Then round three, what does he do? He plays support the whole game. So, I mean, I think that BSD's, like, a big reason they won is because of Stark's versatility and how good he was able to play all those roles in that whole game.
Well, I would certainly agree with you. Let's swing back to Lieutenant Commander Data and see if he's available to speak with us.
I don't think
okay.
Reality is a word.
You know, look.
Anyway, you heard what I said, Demon Sphere, right?
Yes, we heard that.
Yeah.
Explain to us why.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that you got, but basically...
Well, we got, you said it was his incredible defense, you know.
Yeah, but it was multifaceted. Like he played incredible defense and scored the most points on his team. Like he capped four times.
Great defense, 30... reliable, chain gun.
Like he got a bunch of touches, you know, and the 31% cap ratio, and then he just destroyed on E. He got 7 power-up pickups. He was great. It's just a great, great stat line, and he had such an obvious effect on the game, you know, that anybody who didn't see it is blind, you know. Own that.
I think he had quite an amazing game. And my pick is someone who is also a part of my game. I picked Caboose, Ross King. You know, we won round one. It was a close game, but I think also decisive. He came back. He switched the strategy up for his team. He was able to, you know, really kick some ass, get some flags out, and basically turn the tide for round three, where it was a back-and-forth game, but at the end of the day, you know, they were able to come up with the win. And I think, really, it was under his leadership, and he made a lot of ridiculous plays during the game. You know, it was close to me. I almost picked FSN, but, you know, you got to go with the guy who basically turned his whole team around. And I think that's the reason that they won the game. So I'm going to go with Ross King, who also had a monster game, along with DS and Stark.
I agree. I almost picked Ross King, but I mean, Stark is like, he's more of a newbie player, and for him to step into the ring with a whole bunch of veterans like that, pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, you honestly could have picked anybody on that team, and I think it would have been a good pick, so.
Now that's what, like, the second week in a row, we've picked a couple player of the week from BSD, right?
Yeah. And that's very telling. So, I think that just about wraps up week two of WDL Radio. Next week we'll be playing Map 19. It should be an interesting one. Thank you guys. It's been quite interesting. So we will see everybody next Monday.